the Chats podcast up and running officially now for Friday, March 10th. It is 9:37. And on the phone with us this morning, we are catching up with Connie Hagen. She's an ordained minister for Christ through the Nations Institute in Dallas, Texas. And for 10 years, she was a private practice licensed professional counselor who's worked with women recovering from drama. And Connie, number one, welcome to the show. And two, I got to believe you have just seen so much.
Well, actually, thank you for having me on the program. And we had a saying in graduate school, all of us, we would turn to each other and say, so why are you here? I think most therapists probably have been in therapy and have a story to tell. And that's what prompted them to want to help others.
Well, you know what? It sounds like a punchline when we say things like that. But after a while, it feels like when you've heard so many scenarios and situations, you're like, oh, my goodness, it just kind of weighs you down.
Oh, no, absolutely. When clients would come into your office, often you were their last resort. They were really looking to you to say something or give them something that would help them not feel so much grief, so much pain. And that's a big responsibility. You do feel that. And any empathetic person can certainly understand how that can take you to their place. And I think that's what makes a good therapist, that can begin to understand and feel what their clients feel. But you do have to kind of turn that off at the end of the day and be able to take care of yourself and your family.
Yeah. Well, your new book is called Drink of the Cup You Were Served. How did you know that this was going to become your life's work?
One of the things that I decided to do was to bring some humanity to our pain. And each chapter is a different cup that we walk through when we are trying to embrace our circumstances, when we're grieving something that perhaps we've lost, or we just have a circumstance that seems so dark and painful. And so I took each chapter and I tell a personal story of a cup that either I or someone in my family had to drink, and what that looked like, what that process was like, and what it looked like on the other side. And I know for me, the times that I've encountered circumstances that just seemed too hard, too dark, it was helpful for me to hear someone else's story to know, okay, they got through it. God does see us. God does hear us. So I've been able to utilize the situations in my life that I've had to work through and bring purpose to my pain. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why I did write the book. That scripture, comfort others with the comfort you yourself has received, kept coming up to my mind as I would argue with the Lord like Moses did and tell him he had the wrong girl. I wasn't equipped to write a book. And eventually I surrendered and allowed God to just work through me.
You know what? You just said something a second ago that just kind of triggered a thought, because it really is true. You really don't know your strength until you see someone else go through it.
Well, I think there's some truth to that. I know that was the case for me. I mean, because there was a couple of my circumstances where I just thought nobody understands and there is no hope. There's, how can God help me through this? And then when I would come across an individual who had a similar circumstance, it was encouraging to me. I thought, okay, maybe there is another side to this.
It seems like there's a generation of people that's like, you know what, just power through it. Is it cool to acknowledge their pain? Are we allowed to do that?
Well, it's a good question, because really as humans, I think you would kind of agree with this, that none of us want to feel pain. And we do all kinds of things to try to avoid feeling any kind of hurt, pain, sorrow, grief. We go into denial, we get angry, we use substances, we stay in bed, because the last thing really any of us want to do is, we don't want to feel pain, we want to feel better, we want to feel good. That's one reason why people go to counseling. But one of the things that I've learned over the years, even as a cognitive therapist, which just means that we spend a lot of time on thoughts and beliefs and how those affect those beliefs that are deep-seated and in our roots affect the way we feel. Mm. There are a lot of individuals, myself included, where you are so overtaken and so overcome by grief and hurt and sorrow that you can't even begin to do the work of changing the way you think or changing the way your belief system. I know that's the last thing my clients came into my office. They didn't come sit down and say, can you help me kind of change my core beliefs and change my thoughts? No, they came into my office because they didn't want to hurt anymore. Hmm. Feelings often take the driver's seat. What do you do? What do you do when your feelings are at the front and they're the ones kind of making the decisions? Well, I believe that really the first thing you've got to do is acknowledge your pain. You've got to sit with it and validate it. I mean, feelings aren't bad or good. They just are. emotions are powerful, and the best thing that we can do is at least acknowledge them and sit with them for just a time.
Well, you know what's great about your book is that in a culture that we spend so much time thinking about coffee and teas, you break your book down into different cups, the cup of doubt and the cup of despair and the cup of shame and all kinds of things. The cup of doubt, that's your first cup. Is there a reason for that?
Absolutely, because if you look at my book, I broke it up into two parts, and the first part is called Setting the Table, and the reason that I did that is because if our beliefs and our values about who God is and about who he is in the midst of our circumstance, often we define God through our circumstances and not realizing who he is beyond them, in spite of them. So if we doubt God's ability to come in and sit with us, to hear us, to see us, to get us through to the other side, then recovery is, I believe, as a Christ follower, difficult, almost impossible, because at the end of the day, I really do believe that emotional freedom is a spiritual journey. It's a transformation that we receive, not just what we can do as a person, but how we can submit and receive healing from the Holy Spirit, from God, from his word.
Emotions and our feelings can be so powerful. And there are people that as soon as an emotion or a pain hits, they somehow crawl into that. That's become their identity. I'm broken. I'm wounded. And they will die with that. Is there a way of convincing somebody else that we need to get you to reset yourself? How do you do that?
Well, you bring up a really interesting point and an interesting dynamic that happens with other people who are looking at someone else's pain. Just like we don't want to feel pain ourselves, we don't want those that we care about to feel that pain either. And we feel this urge sometimes to go in and fix it, or make a solution, or help them feel better. And unfortunately, often that turns into a platitude, or that turns into a message they give themselves that they're just not doing it right, or they're not good enough. And our intention is to help them feel better, but often in trying to say something like that makes them struggle even more with the pain, struggle even more with that process of recovery, because their feelings are so big and are so great. And I think you're exactly right. At some point, you've got to get through it. You've got to move through it. You've got to keep moving. And those of us that are family members, the best thing that we can do really is just acknowledge their pain. Most people want to be heard and they want to be validated. They really, at that moment of deep intensity of pain, aren't really looking for a solution. They're just looking to be heard and to be validated. And then as that happens, then you get the strength and the courage to continue to move forward. And I talk about that in my book. How do you move forward? How do you get out of that place of just sitting in your pain? Because certainly if you just sit there day after day, year after year, then you're stuck and you're not going to get to move forward and move beyond your pain. That's what this entire book is. How to do that? Well, it seems counterintuitive, but one of the first steps is really to acknowledge it, to sit with it. And then you do the next thing, whatever that is. And for some people, that's just putting your foot on the ground and getting out of bed. Everybody has to kind of be responsible for their own mental health, their own journey. And we as friends and as family members want to support that. And sometimes it requires maybe a little bit of a push or a nudge, but more often than not, what it seems counterintuitive is to sit with someone in their pain. It just doesn't, it seems like, why would I do that? But if you just go back to the Bible and you look at the story of Jesus when he sat with Zacchaeus, if you read that story closely, Jesus never calls Zacchaeus out on his sin, his pain. Jesus just sits with him and loves him and spends time with him in spite of what everybody else says. And it was because of that that became that salt lick for Zacchaeus to want to change, to want to surrender. And so rather than fighting with our family members, sometimes it's just okay to sit with them. And then when the Holy Spirit really impresses on you, now is the time. Now's the time to speak up. But I really think that often we don't wait for that. We just take that initiative on our own. And many times people aren't ready to hear it. They're not ready to move forward. And it just looks different for everybody. So I just say, sit with it until the Holy Spirit says, say something, and this is what I want you to say.
Well, we're catching up with Connie Hagan. Her new book is called Drinking the Cup You Are Served. And, you know, Connie, what's interesting is that going through your book, you see there are personal stories that you yourself share. Does that kind of leave your family a little bit paranoid? Or is like, oh, if I do this in front of mom, it's going to show up in a book somewhere. Are they cool with that sort of thing?
You know, my kids and my family, they were great because they all have come on the other side, and many people who have recovered from whatever it is, whether it's a mental health issue or an addiction or a bad choice in their life, when you come out on the other side, that scripture again, comfort others with the comfort you yourself have received, that brings purpose to our pain. And they were very supportive. They wanted to share their story because God moved in their lives in a miraculous way, and they're on the other side, and great things are happening. But look, it didn't happen overnight. I talk about in chapter 2 about delivering out, delivering through. And there are occasions when God does deliver us out of whatever pain that we're in, but more often than not, he delivers us through, and it's a journey. It's a season. And when you do come out on the other side, however long that takes, there is a part of you that wants to share that. My daughter sat with me and helped me write the chapter that we talk about her mental illness and the crisis that she encountered. She read it. She had input on it. Same with my husband. Well, my husband didn't sit next to me. I actually gave him the chapter and stood over his shoulder. I'm sure it was irritating. And as he read the chapter, but he was so grateful that his story was being told.
Wow. Well, you know what? I mean, you mentioned about it. You as a family, you guys all came through some stuff. Certainly, there are moments that you're dealing with a stronghold. And I think the stronghold is something all of us have had to manage at one time or another. How did you get through it?
Well, I talk about strongholds in a kind of a creative way or an interesting way. You know, one thing as a therapist, you try to share metaphors and similes that kind of help people understand things that seem a little bit abstract. And I think that's kind of the way it is with strongholds. I mean, we hear it all the time, but really, what does that look like? And for me, that kind of looks like a corkscrew. And if you know, when you screw that thing into a cork, there's no pulling that thing out. I mean, you've got to methodically untwist that, unless something, of course, supernatural happens. And that's kind of the same way with strongholds. They're deep-seated. They're deep within us. And often that passage will be quoted, you know, to break down strongholds, we've got to take every thought captive. And that's absolutely true, but there are steps and there are strategies that we can take, and that's kind of where counseling comes in, to break down those thoughts and to get to the root. And once you get to the root, then you can begin to unwind and untwist all the beliefs and thoughts and the shame and the fear that's connected to that stronghold. It's deep. And that's a very supernatural process to be able to walk through that and to break those strongholds by taking those thoughts captive. But oftentimes we just think if it were just a matter of speaking it out, well, I don't think any of us would have strongholds. We'd all do that, right? But because it's twisted so deeply that we have to be on a journey to untwist that and do the hard work of what is it? What are other thoughts that are connected to it? Why is it there? And so forth.
Connie, it's interesting because so many people can be on so many different levels in life. This next question is very simple, but I want to try to knock down any misconception. Is it ever too late to pick your life back up and get back to where you once used to be?
Well, I don't think we ever really want to be where we used to be. I think we always want to kind of be moving forward. And I tell parents all the time that have teenagers or even adult children, I tell them ultimately it's never too late to restore a relationship. It's never too late to move forward. I don't care what season that you're in, even if you're in your golden season, there is work to be done that God can and will use you once you begin to walk through your journey in some kind of way. So I don't think it's an easy question. I think it is complicated, and the enemy wants us to believe that we're kind of used up, spent, too much has happened. But again, that's a lie that the enemy uses. It's a stronghold, actually, that can keep you in shame and keep you stuck and not moving forward.
Well, it's been a really interesting book, and the book is called Drinking the Cup You're Served. And oftentimes, it just feels like new information needs to be presented. And sometimes it's not what you say, but how you say it. And this book is full of that. We're on with Connie Hagan and finding out about really to kind of get us from here to there. And Connie, I guess a final question I would have for you. Going through something, there's a moment where you have to ask why you're going through it so you can kind of learn those steps and understand why you're going through some stuff. Is that the wrong question to ask in the face of something unwanted or tragic?
Well, I would have clients all the time, not just clients, friends, family members, Bible study people that would sit across from me and look at me broken and in so much pain and say, why? Why would a good God let a bad thing happen to me? I've gone to church. I've tried to be a good person, do the right thing, help my neighbor. Why? And the question of why can really spin you in circles. And I would look at that person, whoever they were, and I would say, you know, I wish I had a good answer for that, but sometimes there's not a good answer as to why this has happened. We live in a broken world, a fallen world, where it's just a fact. Bad things happen to good people. But what I do know is that we serve a faithful God who is Jehovah Rapha, our healer, our provider. He is faithful. He is loving. He is our comforter. And he sees you and he hears you and he'll walk you through it. So the question that we need to ask isn't really why. Certainly, when there is an answer to why, there's value in that. But when there's no answer, when it's the unanswerable why, the question to ask is who is God in the midst of my pain? What do I believe? What is it that I really believe about who God is? And then once we kind of make peace with that, God isn't defined by that circumstance. God didn't do this to us. We're just a product of a broken world. Then you can begin to move forward, understanding that God is faithful. He will get you through it. He will not leave you. He will help you get the courage to feel whatever it is that you need to feel to move forward. Well, I wrote this book primarily for those that are in a situation or a circumstance that they just seem to, it just seems too dark, too hard to get through. I've certainly been there myself, and it's a valid feeling. It's very real. But I hope this book, from reading this book, there are tools and there are strategies that we can use from counseling, from what we know through counseling that can be helpful, but also to be able to bridge the gap of how does that apply to Scripture. I bring to life stories of different Bible characters that have gone through painful situations and looking through that through our culture today and that lens and how does that look. So my prayer, my hope is that you will find peace and comfort through the words written on those pages, that you can come through on the other side and you can find the strength and the courage to do the next thing, whatever that is, and to keep moving forward.
Drinking the Cup You Were Served from Connie Hagan. Connie, where do we find you on social media?
Well, I have a website. It's called tolivebeyond.com. tolivebeyond.com. You can get my book there. You can certainly find it on Amazon as well.
Connie, we got to have you on again. There's so much to this. Would you be open to kind of catching up with you again in a future date?
Absolutely. I'm honored and would love to do that.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you again for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always an honor to be able to share what God placed on my heart. And I hope it helps your listeners as they read the book and understand that God sees them, God hears them.